Quick warning before we get into the celebrations. There can be some swear words and adult concepts in these episodes, so make sure there's no kids around and maybe pop on some headphones. Rights for Women would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which this podcast is recorded throughout Australia. We recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We recognise that sovereignty has never been ceded and pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Welcome to the Rights for Women Book Launch Podcast. I'm Pamela Cook, author, podcaster, and writing coach and mentor. My latest release, Cross My Heart, is a story about an orphan child, a lifelong friendship, and an impossible promise, now available at online retailers and through my website at pamelacook.com.au.
And I'm Kel from Rights for Women, the other half. I'm a podcaster and want-to-be author. My business is Listen Up Podcasting, and we make podcasts for a positive world, like this one. You can find me at www.listenuppodcasting.com.au or catch me on Facebook or Twitter.
As many of you will know, with the advent of coronavirus and lockdowns, authors with new releases have been unable to promote their books at live events. Here at Rights for Women, we want to help authors celebrate their new releases and help readers discover new books, all of which are available online, at retailers and through independent bookstores. We'll be releasing these mini-sode chats with authors regularly throughout the coming months while we're all in isolation and authors need a place to launch their books.
Please share the love by letting your reading friends know about the podcast and the books on social media and by reviewing any books you read to help authors get the word out. This is a great time to put some new books on your shelf, virtual and physical, and to share the gift of reading.
My name's Philippa Nefri-Clark. I'm an Australian author, and I have just released a new book, Last Known Contact. And I'd love to read an excerpt for you. Where it ends. Ellie Connor burst out of a rugged bushland onto a broad expanse of open ground. The gloom from the tail of the storm might protect her for a moment, that and the rain. She skidded to a stop at the very edge of a cliff, catching a glimpse of wild waves a long way below. Doubled over, hands on her knees, she gulped salty air. Her legs shook from running, but the adrenaline coursing through her had kept her moving. Adrenaline and self-preservation. She didn't want to die, be killed by him. Most of her blonde hair had escaped its ponytail and she pulled a strand from her dry mouth. So thirsty. She reached for her backpack, but there wasn't time. It wasn't safe to stop. Below and to her right was the river mouth, just visible in the near dark. Safety.
Oh, Ellie!
Her head shot up.
I'm here to help you.
His voice drifted from the trees. She ran along the side of the cliff, searching for the way down. A narrow track opened up, not the one she remembered walking with Gabby last visit, but it would do. She had to put distance between them. The ground was mud and loose stones, and Ellie's feet slipped from under her. She cried out as she landed on her elbows and behind. Tears sprung into her eyes and she rolled against the cliff wall to catch her breath. Out to sea, a helicopter sped past, its blinking lights mesmerizing Ellie. If only her phone wasn't smashed into a million pieces somewhere back in the bush, she would turn on its flashlight, get their attention with her vague memory of Morse code. But it passed by and the rain stopped. The wind dropped to almost nothing and the heavy smell of eucalypts and sea spray enveloped her. Where was he? Ellie pushed herself to her feet, wincing as she straightened. Blood trickled down her arms and she wiped it away, then cleaned her palms on her shorts. Her legs were filthy and blood spattered. This time she was careful of her footing. one step at a time, a hand on the sheer rock face to her side. At a sharp curve, there was a shallow cave. Impossible to see how far back it went or what might lurk within.
Are you down there, Ellie?
Ellie almost jumped into the cave entrance. His voice was closer. Surely he would hear the hammering of her heart.
You don't need to run any more. I've come to help. I can get you to Gabby. You came to see her, didn't you?
Don't you dare say my mother's name. Ellie closed her eyes, arms wrapped around her body as bile rose in her throat. She'd fallen into his well-planned trap, alone, so far from any town. Nobody to turn to, no help. She opened her eyes and started as a beam of light barely missed her feet.
Getting over the games a bit, you know. All I ever wanted was to make you happy. He was going to kill her, then find Gabby and do the same.
Her fingers and toes were freezing, though the humidity was rising again after the storm.
Ah, there's a blood trail. I'll bring you a bandage, Ellie. Pebbles rolled down the path ahead of heavy footsteps. The flashlight waved from side to side. Ellie!
A different voice echoing from the top of the cliffs.
I'm here, but he's close by.
Almost sobbing in relief, she stepped onto the path. Her hunter caught her in his spotlight.
Gotcha, baby.
Ice clutched her stomach. Her feet wouldn't move. There was a gun pointed at her. Again, from the top of the path.
Ellie! Ellie, run for your life!
The flashlight turned onto her face.
I wouldn't do that. Not if you ever want to see him alive again. Make a choice, Ellie.
I need to get to Gabby. Ellie ducked out of the light and slid her way around a sharp corner. A shot ran out. And that is the end of the excerpt, which is the beginning of the book.
Okay, so obviously I want to know more about Ellie and how she got into this situation. And if that's the beginning, wow, where is it going to take us from there? So please do take us more into this story and into Ellie.
Okay, I'd love to. Ellie Connor is a businesswoman, perhaps not by choice. Her father is very wealthy. He built a business empire from the ground up, coming from poverty. So he's quite unique. He's a Melbourne businessman. So everything in here is set in Victoria. I love to write Victorian stories. Ellie was always going to have another career path, but somehow Jack, her dad, talked her into coming and working for him as his 2IC. But she took off after a while and travelled the world for a bit, which he wasn't very impressed with. So when she came back, he made it quite difficult for her to come back into the company, and she ended up going and starting a foundation, as so many big corporates have. Mm-hmm. Things settled down over the years. She goes to London to look at setting up an office for the foundation, and when she comes back, her dad's missing. Jack's disappeared. He was meant to meet her estranged husband, Dennis, at the yacht to go for a sail. And according to Dennis, her father never fronted and he's just disappeared and nobody seems to care except for Ellie.
What inspired this story?
That's a really good question. I just get ideas. I loved the concept of having someone who's very confident and self-made and runs his life the way he wants to run it and expects everyone around him to just fit in with who he is. And then as a complete foil, having this lovely young woman who's got a fantastic heart but hasn't really found her place in the world. So due to a number of circumstances, she works for her dad, which is great, but she's forgotten who she really is. And I wanted to explore what could happen to Jack in order to make Ellie find who she really is.
Nice. So it's really, he's a vehicle for her self-exploration.
Yes.
Excellent. So then the story is all about her discovering what's happened to her father. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, she has to team up with someone from her past, a detective that she was involved with a long time ago. And he's not particularly thrilled to be on this case because Jack, her father, is the reason that they're no longer together. So there's quite a lot of mistrust and history there. And she's also got to deal with the corporate side of it, where there's a board of directors who are keeping their own secrets. And she's really got to find something deep in herself to uncover what has happened to Jack. Is he dead? Is he alive? Where is he if he's alive? And what is really going on with the business?
So Ellie is a character. Where has she been spawned from? Is she coming from within you, or is she a mix of people you've known, or is she the type of woman that you want to see on the page?
I really love writing about and exploring women on a journey. I think often women find themselves in a situation which is where life tends to have led them, unless they're very strong, confident, well-rounded women from, you know, from a younger age. It's very easy, I feel, and perhaps I am talking a bit about myself here, to find yourself where you didn't expect to be, because it makes other people happy. It keeps the people around you in a place that then you do get something from, because you can see that you're fulfilling their dreams. And I love exploring how to then get that wonderful woman to be who she really is and the fullest, happiest person she can be, but still able to keep the people around her happy, if that makes sense. It's not about people pleasing as such, but having everything fit into place the way it really belongs so that she gets out of life what she deserves.
About becoming a whole person rather than just somebody who's pleasing other people so they can be whole people. It says on your website, I write from my heart about love, dreams, secrets, discovery, the sea, the world as I know it, or wish it to be. I love happy endings, heart-pounding suspense, which we just saw there, and characters who stay with you long after the final page. Talk to me about discovering this writer within yourself that loves all of these things.
Well, most of those things have just come from a lifetime of experiences, but I began writing as soon as I could pick up a pencil. I could read and write before I went to school, and I wrote stories. And all through my teenage years, I wrote stories. They kept me going through some very difficult times. But I kind of let life get in my way and did what a few other people needed me to do for a while. I never stopped writing. I dabbled in screenplays for quite a while. And this book, Last Known Contact, was originally written as a screenplay. I have five that I'm slowly moving into novels from being screenplays, because funding's very hard to get in Australia for an Australian film.
Yeah.
I'm very hard.
Especially now.
Yes.
So is that why you decided to translate them into a novel rather than a screenplay, because you thought you'd have more success actually getting them out into the world?
Partly, and I'm going back to my roots. I always wanted to be a novelist. That was what I always saw myself as. But when my children were younger, novel writing was just an impossibility. for me who I was then. Screenplays are very different to write, and I was able to come and go with the screenplays in between other commitments. Mm. So it sort of filled the void for me, and it taught me other skills, and my writing is cinematic.
And you mentioned, yeah, that you love to write from within Victoria and around Victoria.
Mm.
Is that because that's your space, your home, your place of heart?
Yes, partly. I grew up on this part, well, again, partly. I was moved around a lot as a child, so I've seen a lot of Australia. I had never been to Victoria, though, and my husband and I moved here about 25 years ago, so very much it is very, very, it's my home, it's my real home. Mm-hmm. But I spent a number of years on the south coast of New South Wales a long time ago when it wasn't such a tourist destination. And I have a big soft spot for places like Kiama.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my earlier books that I've released, even though they've been set in Victoria, they were drawn from experiences and feelings. And, you know, that whole thing that comes together to create an idea from the south coast of New South Wales. But I adore the Great Ocean Road of Victoria and have spent quite a lot of time there. So I created my first series in a fictional town, but sort of close to Warrnambool. So I've just found almost everything I write is Victorian based. There's just something for everyone here.
I think that's great. What about the way you love to draw on the sea and the ocean and water? That's obviously another theme that you weave through, and you refer to that as well as something that you love. What is it about the ocean and your writing?
Yeah, it's interesting. I grew up pretty much on the coast wherever I lived in Australia. My father was a marine biologist, so I was kind of introduced to the sea from the point of view of all the beauty within, and, you know, just beyond the power of the waves. And I just feel a real connection to the ocean. I particularly love it on a winter's day when there's no one else around and it's a wild grey sea and the whipping wind, and that is just sort of my happy place.
And that's where it comes out in your books, I'm assuming, is that space of your happy place. So when did you go from writing screenplays in the hustle and bustle of kids to actually publishing your first book and getting your first book out there?
Yeah. After I'd written the last of the screenplays, and I'd had a red hot go at getting films optioned. One of them was optioned for a while, but the director was unable to get a producer on board, so we let that one go. I got very involved in our family business. We had just started a retail shop, and I thought I probably wasn't ever going to see my words where I wanted them. So I gave up for a bit.
It's
I put it all on the back burner. I was by that time concerned that going forward in my future, you know, I needed to have money aside. My superannuation wasn't as good as it should have been. Mm. So I put a lot more into our family business, and we're 15 years down the track now with that, and that's a solid little business. So I've now stepped back. So I'm working one day a week in our shop, and I work from home 5 days a week to write, and I try very hard to have one day off just to do family things and so forth. Probably about 5 years ago, the words just were annoying me. They wouldn't leave me alone. My books wanted to be written. And I just said to my family, I'm just going to give this one final go. I'm going to go back to the book that I had originally started more than 15 years ago. I live very close to a station master's cottage, and I always had an inkling in the back of my mind that it would be fun to go into the attic and see in a 100-year-old building what might be still up there. And that sort of grew into a book which became a screenplay, then became a book, which was The Station Master's Cottage. And about 4 years ago, it was finished. I had it edited and I started looking for a traditional publishing house. I went to an agent and she unfortunately put me off the whole concept very quickly. And I won't say any more with that because she's unfortunately no longer around. So I wouldn't like to speak badly of what happened. But my very clever son, who was about 18, 9, oh no, just been about 20. He said, "Mum, we're going to self-publish." And I've gone, "Oh, I don't know about that." And he goes, "Are you kidding me?" He said, and he reeled off this list of names of authors who have published their own books, which have subsequently been turned into movies and, you know, are treated with every bit the same respect as a traditionally published book.
Of course.
For the Martian, for example, how amazing for the author of that book, the success that followed. So I went back, had the book re-edited just to make sure, and I found a beautiful cover designer and my son helped me upload. I had no idea how to do anything at all. And to my absolute shock and surprise, the book took off, and what was meant to be a standalone book, I had so many readers ask for a series that it's now 6 books.
Wow!
And those 6 books have now been contracted by Podium Audio in the United States, and they were behind The Martian. So that's
fantastic. What an amazing turn of events. Look at what happened when you believed in yourself. I keep hearing this over and over and over again from women writers who just turn around and believe in themselves and bam, magic starts to happen. What is that telling us?
Oh, we have to learn to believe ourselves, to listen to the little voices and not let other things stop us from following our dreams.
It's so true. True words could not be spoken, especially at this time. So it ended up as a 6-book series and yes. Last Known Contact, that is a standalone book, isn't it? Or is that part of a series?
No, it is a standalone book. However, there's a detective who plays a minor role in this, and he is going to have his own book. So they'll be connected, but it's not so much about the detective side of it. It is about the people who are more the amateur sleuths, I guess. So that one will hopefully, I haven't started writing it yet, so sometime next year.
That's your next project.
I'm in the middle of finishing another book at the moment, so I'd better finish the one I'm doing.
Oh, my goodness. And then it's the project after the next project.
It is, yes.
Wow, I'm loving listening to this story of a person who put their dreams aside, sort of gave it a go, got disheartened, put their dreams aside, then never truly gave up. And when they saw that life had provided that space again, just went for it. And even when you still had obstacles, you didn't stop and you went for it. And look at where you are now. That's a story to inspire others if I ever heard one, especially people who have put aside their dreams and thought that it was over.
I hope so. I'm a big believer in paying it forward, and I try very hard to support particularly other women. But, of course, if anyone who needs support, I'll give it to them as well, because sometimes it's just the right word of kindness and support at the right time.
100%. And what does it cost you, really?
Nothing.
Exactly. So where can people go to find Last Known Contact?
Okay, so it is available in paperback as well as in ebook, and I'm just negotiating audio, but that will be a little bit further down the track. Paperback, you can go to your favourite bookshop certainly ones that are open at the moment, and request that it's ordered in. It's available as a print on demand, so they will know where to find it based on my name and the name of the book. Or I know she's available, Angus and Robertson and Booktopia, on their online websites, and you can also order direct from my own website, which is usually a great option because it's free postage and it's a little bit less expensive, and I will sign it if you want it signed.
That's lovely. So for a gift, if you want to buy one for a gift.
So that's always a nice thing too. But otherwise it is available on Amazon.
So. Okay. Yep. And sorry, what was your website is philippaclark.com, isn't it? And that's Clark, C-L-A-R-K, with no E at the end, everybody.
That's it. Yes, that's correct.
Is there anything else you would like people to know about yourself or the book before we head off today?
But I just want to say thank you. It means a lot to me. This book means a lot to me because it's been many years in the making, and I'm very, very proud of it as a story.
One last question, Philippa. Can you recommend another Australian female author that you're loving at the moment that other people should go out and read?
I certainly can. And I could give you a long list, but I picked up a book about a year and a half ago, and I fell in love with the book and the voice of this author. She's another independently published author, and I think she's very underrated, and I've had the great pleasure of meeting her and spending a few hours with her, and she's the most humble, delightful woman. Her name is Michelle Montebello. And the book I read was The Quarantine Station, which it's kind of odd in our current situation, but it was about the Spanish flu.
Seriously?
Seriously. So she wrote this a number of years ago, and it's based in Sydney at the Sydney Quarantine Station, which not everyone knows existed, to be there in the time, you know, a great time of need as the boats were coming in through the heads, and they would send people who might be ill to the quarantine station. But what's wonderful about this book is that it's got a dual narrative. So it's set now with one story, and then it's set at that time. And the current story is about, a nice, gorgeous young woman whose grandmother is suffering from dementia. And she keeps wandering off from her home to go to the quarantine station. And so the dual timeline is taking you back to find out what happened to make this lovely elderly lady want to go back there. So it gives me goosebumps talking about it. And if it's the only book anybody reads this year, I really believe it's just a stunning book to read.
That sounds amazing.
She's written quite a few books, but that one is just fantastic. So I can give you her website if you'd like.
Yeah, go for it. 100%.
Okay, so it's www.michellemontebello.com.au, and Montebello is Montebello. And I haven't told her I was going to talk about her, so.
I'm sure she will be fine with it. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you, Philippa. I really wish you well with Last Known Contact. I hope it flies off the virtual bookshelves and the real bookshelves. And good luck with the next one and the next one after that.
Thank you so much, Kel.
Thank you for listening to The Book Launch and supporting our authors. If you like what you hear, check us out at rightsforwomen.com, where you can find all our regular episodes and our new book launch episodes, and help us help authors by supporting us at Patreon for just a few dollars each month. You can find out more about all of this on our website.
And don't forget to subscribe to Rights for Women wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, can you please give us a quick rating and review so other people can find us and these awesome books that authors are launching in isolation right now?
Happy reading.
This podcast episode was recorded, produced and edited by Kel Butler from Listen Up Podcasting. Podcasts for a positive world.